Part 1. Timeless. Lex. Chapter 1. Revive and Revile. It's time. Nephi's words settled over us, a muffling cloak stealing breath and silencing tongues in the sterile room. The group of doctors and nurses surrounding Tarset's bed of stony, opalescent Ott tensed collectively, prepared, waiting. In just a moment, Nephi would give the word, and they would jump into action, attempting to save Marcus's frozen-in-time little girl. Nick stood at the head of the bed, his mother, Aset, at the foot with Nephi. The two ancient, beautiful women were co-directors of their highly trained and even more highly experienced orchestra of Nejire medical savants. A pair of them stood on either side of Tarset, others standing behind them, ready to tap in once the little girl had been awakened from her eternal slumber and transferred to the waiting hospital bed just a few feet away. Generic blue scrubs were the outfit of the day for a team that was anything but generic. This group of people was about to attempt to revive a 4-year-old girl who'd been on the verge of death 4,000 years ago, frozen in Ott ever since. They would do everything they could to counteract the effects of the ancient poison killing Tarset and achieve the impossible, returning this tiny, dying child to health. But they were Nejirettes, mythic gods of time. Impossibility lay at the heart of their very existence. Marcus and I stood with our backs against the wall near the doorway to Nephi's state-of-the-art laboratory, taking up as little space as we could, staying out of the way, keeping our mouths shut, letting the experts do their work, trying to not have a damn freak out. Nick, Nephi's voice was sure, commanding. When you're ready, please begin. My hand sought out Marcus's, our fingers lacing together in a painfully tight grip. We watched, helpless and useless, as Nick cupped either side of Tarset's head, closed his eyes, and inhaled deeply. He held his breath, looking so strange without his standard garb, no black clothing or leather or spiky hair. Now, his myriad of graying tattoos and silver piercings looked out of place next to his blue scrubs. Now, breath held and clothing matching those around him, he appeared the quintessential team player, a regular joiner. I suppressed a highly inappropriate laugh and swallowed, cotton mouth making the action ineffective. As Nick began his exhale, color bled back into Tarset's opalescent body. First, her hair blossomed to onyx black, then her skin to an ashen hue. The blanket covering the rest of her body, a relic woven millennia ago, faded from shimmering moonstone to vibrant crimson, yellow, and teal. Wait. Nick's voice was strained, quiet. Though Tarset appeared to be made of living flesh now rather than solidified aught, her body showed no signs of life. Almost. A tiny, pained noise came from Marcus as he stared at his unresponsive little girl. I gave his hand a squeeze. This was it, the moment of truth. In just a few seconds, we would know whether Tarset had even the slightest chance of recovering from the ancient poison a Pep had tainted the oasis's water source with thousands of years ago, or if her damaged organs would give out and she would be truly gone. I'd made a promise to her mother, Sechaset, to save Tarset, to look after her, to raise her as my own daughter, to give her a chance at a normal life in a world that would seem foreign and alien, but at least it would be a life, a chance to grow up. At least it would be a promise kept. A few weeks back, we'd revived the kitten I'd frozen in Ott with Tarset so long ago. Russ had been a gift from Heru, Marcus's ancient counterpart, given to me during my first homesick night in ancient Egypt. The fuzzball was, once again, the rambunctious creature he'd been millennia ago, though his first few days had been a little rough, and that was poison.